Blog Talk Radio.
Championships on the line, Tier 1, Tier 2, in the IWFL. You also had the Women's Football Alliance Championship in Balboa Stadium. On top of that, you had the clash event in Monterrey, Mexico, between FXF Mexico and the Liga de Monterrey Football down south. So there's a slew of games on the LFL docket as well. You had the YouTube broadcast of Philadelphia Passion against the Cleveland Crush, which was an entertaining game to see. And in Ralston, Nebraska, home of the Omaha Heart, an amazing crowd showed up in Omaha to witness the Baltimore Charm take care of the Omaha Heart at home, 12-6. Everybody coming into the game thought Omaha was going to put up a huge point given Lindsay Noble's return to action, but it was not true. It Angela Ripken, Kelly Campbell, and the rest of the Charm come out with a victory. They also earned a Northeastern Division title in the mix. Now they're in the playoffs. They're 3-1 in their season, which is the first time in their franchise history they've done that. So we'll go into detail that in the 2-minute drill. But in San Diego, it was Chicago Force weekend, basically. Sammy Grassoffi, Jennifer Gray, taking on Jen Welker, Brittany Bushman, and Odessa Jenkins. And it was just a show of offensive firepower and defensive stance. Chicago coming into the championship, the Silver Sport Championship in Balboa, was basically the top favorite team. Nothing taken away from the Dallas Diamonds, of course, but Chicago had steamrolled through the season within the playoffs. They took a little leeway off to the Women's World Championships. And we're talking about the Chicago Force members that obviously were on Team USA. They come back and sort of avenged last year's loss to the San Diego Surge, but it becomes a record-setting day in the Women's Football Alliance, given that Chicago scored up the most points in the history of the Women's Football Alliance Championship, 81 points. They were almost at 60 points at halftime, and the Diamonds could not muster beyond 30 points in the contest. A lot of fumbles, a lot of intricacies on that side of the ball that obviously contributed to Chicago taking advantage of a lot of the mistakes that were being made on the Dallas Diamonds squad. So 81-34, the biggest win margin in the history of the Women's Football Alliance National Championship. So hats off to Sammy Grassoffi, Jennifer Gray, the rest of the crew, Coach John Konecki as well. Team USA gold medalist coach, and on top of that now national championship coach. So it goes to show, a force to be reckoned with. Chicago started off the season in a vengeance, and they finish it off completely. So we'll see if we can get Sammy on and Jeanette Gray on to kind of revisit the transition and the events that transpired, obviously, at Balboa Stadium within the next couple weeks to come here. But welcome to the show. My name is Oscar Lopez. This is Gridiron Beauties Radio, where we go into, dive into the women's game. We interview current stars and pioneers of the sport of women's gridiron. And we have the Australian season coming up in the fall. And we're very excited on Gridiron Beauties fan page on Facebook, because we're going to be covering the intensive matchups that are going to happen in the various leagues, obviously in Australia to begin with. We've got the Gridiron, New South Wales Women's Gridiron League that's going to kick off with new squads as well. We've got the Ladies Football League Australia that's going to kick off as well. In that sense, you also have the Legends version of the Australian version of the Legends Football League that's going to kick off in Australia, on top of the ACT Women's Gridiron League, and as well as the Western the Gridiron Victoria League. So there's a lot of women's gridiron action that we are going to be covering exclusively within the next 3 months, 90 days in that sense, putting together the season. The U.S. season has completely collapsed at this point. It's over. The championships are in place. And obviously the Canada season also as well a couple weeks ago. So now we dive into Australia, Australia being basically their summer, our fall. But, you know, we're going to be basically involved with the women's gridiron game 24/7, 365. If you didn't know that there was women's gridiron action globally, you know that now. If you follow us on Twitter or if you follow us on Facebook, pretty much know that obviously 24/7, the women's gridiron game, you know, there's no off season. And that's pretty much a perfect statement. No offseason in women's gridiron. So we go from the U.S.-based leagues to the Canadian leagues and then jump over to the Australian wings of it. And then obviously we have the Europe scene that we haven't covered yet, but the Europe scene is also in place as well. So exciting times for the sport, exciting times for the evolution of the women's gridiron game, and we'll go into detail with that. So today's show, we have Amber Wilson, who will be coming on in a couple minutes here to talk about her experience in the Legends Football League, and then her now experience into venturing into the Women's Indoor Football League that's going to take effect in 2014. So we'll get her points of view on both sides of the spectrum, the non-traditional and the traditional, and how things should evolve in the new league that she's venturing in. So that should be in the Nordic Football Huddle coming up in a couple minutes here. So if you're new to the show, we welcome you with open arms. Our show format is interactive, and we engage via social media platforms. So if you want to participate, you can do so in various ways. On our Twitter, you can submit questions to our guests prior to the show using hashtag GBRadio. After any comment, we review the questions and select a handful to address with our huddle guests. You can also call in, and it's a 1-714-888-7418, 1-714-888-7418. You can talk to our guests or ourselves. We love feedback on our show and with our guests, and you can leave comments here on Blog Talk Radio on the comic box. You can also find us on the various social sites, like I said, on Twitter, at Gridiron Beauty, on Facebook, facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties, and you can visit our website at zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. We encourage everyone to network with us by sharing retweets, posts, and information about your league, players, and organization to our Twitter and Facebook pages. We also have a format to get the word out in terms of events, sponsorships, and any branding news that you're using by using the hashtag 2-Minute Drill on any posts on Twitter. We tally those weekly. And at the end of the show, we shout out to our listeners where you're going to be at in terms of what's happening within your league or your team or your community. So, example, this is the week ending the 4th. So going forward, the week ending August 10th would be the submission for this week, so we can get the word out for you. We want to thank our amazing network of sources that provide us with women's gridiron news and notes globally. Without them, we would not be here today to bring you the news and notes of the women's gridiron game. I want to give a shout-out to those folks at Backseat Coach, at WFA Scores, at IWFL, at the WSFL, at Football Nacional, at FX Mexico, at Janet TV Football, FIFA underscore Spain, the WTF Canada, and at Touchdown Europe as well for their amazing work weekly on league info and player news. We have an amazing network of fans on our Twitter feed. We appreciate everybody as well giving us information, heads up, sharing information with us so we can keep you informed of what's going on within the women's gridiron game in a global scope. So like we talked about earlier, Australia will kick off September 6th. Is usually about the time that the Australian Football League gridiron season will kick off. Same kind of concept as the NFL. So if you think of the NFL, the Australian gridiron season is within the NFL scope in terms of the U.S. Season. So as the NFL kicks off, so does the Australian women's gridiron game. Since we are in the U.S., we cover the most prominent leagues in the gridiron game, whether it's traditional or non-traditional. So we cover the Women's Football Alliance, the Independent Women's Football League, the Women's Spring Football League, the Western Women's Canadian Football League, the Maritime Women's Football League, the Legends Football League, all branches, the Women's Arena Football League, as well as the Sugar and Spice Football League out of Texas. And soon in 2014, we will cover the Women's Indoor Football League. Also, the international scene with networking groups that include Guam with Women's Tackle Football, the Liga Nacional of Football Americana in Spain, the CIFF, which is a championship female league of Italy that just started out this past season, the Female Gridiron League of Queensland, the AFC Women's League in Australia, the LFL Australia, which is the Ladies Football League Australia, and as well as the Legends version of Australia, and the Ladies Gridiron League. In Mexico, we cover FX Mexico, AFFB Mexico, and the Pretty Girls Football League, and soon we'll be covering the Bikini Football League of Lingerie, which is basically the same version as non-traditional. Visit us on Facebook under the Like section for all the women's gridiron leagues we follow globally. So at this point, a huge weekend of women's gridiron, and it just became such an amazing event. The All-American game was on in San Diego as well. Destiny Jarboe from the War Angels, basically 3 touchdowns. We've got to give a shout-out to her, an amazing performance in the All-Star game. On top of that, there was just a bunch of excitement coming into this game, this matchup, Chicago Force, Dallas Diamonds, Diamonds historic team in terms of, you know, championships as well, not just from the IWFL and WFA, but from previous leagues before that. So a total, I think it was about five championships, if I'm correct on that, that they've had in total. So Diamonds, you know, basically off seeded St. Louis to get here, and St. Louis obviously a staple in the WFA initially from their championship wins in the past couple of years. But Chicago coming in, you knew that they were passionate about finishing this season on a high note. They had taken that break to the Women's World Championship, and then, you know, they obviously won gold. They were competing against Canada. They ended up, you know, basically being the top team in the tournament, and that's pretty much what it says at all. The Coach Konecki, Sammy Grisoffi, and the players on this team kind of embodied total performance in terms of high caliber performance. And when they came into the game, within the first 9 minutes of the game, you know, under 5 minutes of the game, Chicago was already up, literally almost 12 points up on Diamonds. So it just goes to show you what this offense was built on, what this offense was put together as. And obviously, you got to give credit to the veterans. They've been there a long time. The system's already been in place. They understand their positions. They understand their motions. They truly understand, you know, the gameplay and the game plan. They understand the plays. So there's no question as to they're not dialed. They're dialed. And, you know, Sammy has talked about a lot about, you know, branching out and leaving the sport on a high note, leaving at a high performance level. And, you know, we have to give her credit for that. She obviously, you know, her wish has come true. She's going on to the music scene and putting together her music career as well as her bands. She's got a lot of accolades in the local area in Chicago as well. She's made a name for herself, not just on the football field, but overall for women's sports as well, and obviously the music now. So putting up a lot of points is a credit to her. There's a lot of touchdowns in the end zone this past weekend. I mean, 526 yards from her, a total of 8 touchdowns, a combined total of 12 touchdowns when you take into account Darcy Leslie and Charles and Javelette putting together the scoring. Dallas just seemed to just, you know, they started off late, and that's what happens when you start off late. If you can, you know, match pound for pound and muscle for muscle, the time clock becomes the biggest factor of being defeated. Not that they didn't have any heart. I think they, you know, they did well in terms of trying to managing the game, trying to keep up with it, trying to stay within the game. But with the same token, they give up a lot of situations where they weren't able to capitalize, and they fumbled a couple, and that was pretty much the deciding factor for them, the fumbling part the deciding factor for the Dallas Diamonds not staying competitive with Chicago. The 81 points we talked about earlier in the show, 81 points was the record that is obviously now the benchmark. Sammy Lee's huge amount of points in terms of trying to match that in another game. I mean, that's going to be the record. I don't think anybody's going to match that for a while, unless you get an offense as as great as this one. And depending on who takes the lead under center for them next year, the system is built around that. So as long as that person is athletic and a little bit student of the game, Chicago is going to continue to be probably a top team in the WFA. So the Silver Sport Championship was in San Diego. It's a great venue. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to go there. I know there was a lot of people that were tweeting us, and they were having a great time there. And so the end result is Chicago wins the WFA National Championship, coming off a loss last year from San Diego against San Diego Surge. So between Chicago and San Diego, really the top two dogs in the WFA right now. If you want East and West, which is basically Midwest to West, San Diego had the same journey that Chicago did this year. Chicago lost last year and then came back and won. San Diego lost previously to the Militia and obviously bounced back and won. So it's a credit to their organization, their work, their coaching. It's a credit to how the players have, you know, devoted their time and effort, put their heart and sacrifice into the team to make it a successful team. And they've done that. And it just proved that they did not miss a lick coming off the Women's World Championships. They basically just back and formed. So congratulations to the Chicago Force. Congratulations to their owner as well, Linda Bach, the owner of the Force, for outstanding job on marketing, the outstanding job of, you know, making sure the club is relevant in the Chicago area. You know, we even tweeted a shout-out from the Chicago Bears, who obviously congratulated the Chicago Force on their national championship, which is huge. You got the NFL team noticing their accomplishments locally in the community. So congratulations to them. Sammy also was named the National Offensive Player of the Year, as well as Darcy Leslie, the National Defensive Player of the Year on the national side. A huge accomplishment to all the women on this team. I mean, they have done an amazing job of steamrolling over 50 points average in each game this season. Just goes to show that they have an amazing amount of talent on the squad. And who knows for next year, but given if they have the same returning veterans from the World Women's Championship squad, as well as all the talented individuals, I think Chicago is on a tear. They are the team to beat. And it goes to show, based on stats and based on everything that's happened in the 2013 season, they obviously are the team to beat. So let's move on to the Independent Women's Football League. And there was Tier 1, Tier 2. And we have to give a shout-out to the Montreal Blitz, Sadia Ashraf, who was also the owner and quarterback of this team. She has an amazing transformation from this team. They have transformed this team into a team to beat, and not just in the U.S. Aspect of it, but in the international scope. Technically, in reality, and the facts are, this is the only team from Canada that competes in the U.S. League. So that's... just put that boldly right there. They have to travel from afar into the States to compete on a season level, and they obviously do an amazing job. So since Sadia has taken over the team, historically this team has done well, and obviously it goes to show what they've done in the past. But they have won an amazing amount of championships, Tier 2 championships. This is four world championships. This is four titles that they've acquired now. They have done Tier 2 and Tier 1, Tier 2, three titles, and then Tier 1, one title. So now it's a huge accomplishment. And they also had, returning veterans from the Women's World Championship squad that came into play. So they basically are in the same boat, similar to the Chicago Force in a lot of ways. They have a lot of veteran team members. You got a veteran quarterback in Sadia Ashraf, who's competed at a high level, at a world level, and Montreal has just been the team in the last, three or four seasons. They have elevated their game. And since she's taken ownership of the team, she's really put together a good coaching staff. She's put together a good team in terms of women that want to play football. And it's kind of like a nice situation in Montreal because they're the only team that people have to compete on a roster spot. So you're getting the best talent in Quebec, you're getting the best talent north of Canada in that region of talented athletic women that are competing on this team. So you put them on a team that's already a staple team with veterans and put them together with the nice game plan that they have set up, some of the teachings that they're doing, and then you put together that, obviously you're going to have a winning squad. And it's proven, and they've proven that. And, you know, four world championships, four world titles in the IWFL, that just tells you a lot of it. So the matchup against the Arlington Impact, not to take anything away from Arlington, but Arlington, brand new team, just started out. There's no real history there. I mean, they're just coming into this IWFL. They're trying to, you know, grow their brand, of course, and put themselves on the map. But they had a tremendous amount of great season this year. They got into the playoffs. They made the playoffs. Just the Impact was not anything that you have to, you know, sort of brag about. I mean, they were a good team, good squad. They got themselves into the dance. But unfortunately, they have to face somebody like Montreal. It's kind of the same token that we just talked about the Chicago Force on the other end. They have an amazing amount of opportunity now to, you know, put together another good season. And I think Arlington will improve. They'll get better. They put up 8 points. But with the same token, Montreal, very offensively skilled, defensively sound. So they put up 55-8. So 55-8 is Montreal Blitz wins the IWFL Tier 2 championship. So hats off to them. It's back-to-back titles, even though it wasn't in the same tier level. Tier 1, they won last year. And then this year they won the Tier 2 championship. So technically it's back-to-back titles, but within the different tier setups. The other game was the main attraction game, which was basically the Tier 1 championship, and that was on Saturday. So Houston Energy, more like the Arlington Impact, had an amazing season coming in. Great coaching, an amazing array of players there. They were up against the Carolina Phoenix. Carolina Phoenix, the same as the Montreal Blitz, looking for a back-to-back title. Founders, they won the Founders Bowl 2012. Now they move up to the Tier 1 title. And obviously they didn't disappoint. They were, on a roll. Phoenix, three touchdowns in 11 games. Only three touchdowns in 11 games allowed for the season. So their so-called blunt force trauma, which is their nickname for their defense, held up, shut out the Energy. And it was not as easy as it looks. 14-0 is not easy. Two scores. Energy played their heart out. They just could not get themselves in the end zone. And that's a credit, obviously, to the blunt force trauma defense. And the Carolina Phoenix was led by number 5 Jet. They were also led by Maria Uno Rivera and a lot of the other talented players that they have on their team. So it goes to show that, team and effort and everything could put together. So Carolina, very staple, squad that's probably going to be very competitive coming into the next season in 2014 as well. So just like we equate the Force and the WFA, we also put together the Carolina Phoenix. I think they're in the top notch. So between Carolina and Montreal, I'd like to see that contest next year. I think if you put together the top two teams in that, you need to move Montreal back to the Tier 1. You move Montreal back to the Tier 1, I don't know if Carolina, is going to be as aggressive in that championship game. But it would be a good game to see, a good matchup to confront. Carolina being the Tier 1 champ, and then obviously Tier 2 champ Montreal. So hopefully Montreal jumps into the Tier 1 title scene next year, and we can see that kind of motion going on there as well. So lots of interesting things that happened in Round Rock, as well as the All-Star game that happened in Round Rock, Texas. So I believe the East won that game. I didn't have the scores on that. But for the most part, All-Star games were happening on both sides, on both leagues. And Round Rock, Texas seems to be the staple site for the IWFL championship. So if you haven't been there, it's very historic in a lot of ways. The IWFL started in 2000. So they've been having the championship there for literally almost 13 years now. So it's kind of like the place to be. It's also in an area where the U.S. Football team kind of ventures into in terms of their training, in terms of scouting and the rosters for their squad. So Texas being a huge football state, it just makes sense. Obviously, some of the top teams in the tournament this year obviously came from Texas. You know, the Houston Energy, the Arlington Impact, those came from that. And you also have Dallas, the Dallas Diamonds off the WFA. So can't take anything away from the state. They know how to play football. They know how to play competitive football. They understand championship football. So we'll see how that transpires and how that works out in forms in that regard. So we'll see how that works out in that sense. We're holding on here and see if Amber's going to, you know, call in for us, see if we got her on the line here. But as soon as she gets on here, we will have her on. She was supposed to be coming in for us, so hopefully everything's good and there's nothing that happened here that's going to keep her away from us doing the interview. But if not, we will reschedule, like always, and then we'll do that in a different day if that's the case. But hopefully she can come on and take care of that. So let's go into the other games that were happening on the weekend slate. And you have a lot of the events happening in the playoff picture that you have in the Legends Football League. The Legends Football League, the playoff picture is kind of, you know, on one side is pretty much set. On the West, you have the Seattle Mist, pretty much the top dog in the West. You have the Temptation, the former champs. And then you also have Green Bay Chill and Chicago Bliss, pretty much in the mix in that sense. So the wild card berth is going to come from one of the games coming up here. It's going to be Chicago taking on Green Bay. The West has been the most competitive side of the league for a long time, since 2009. The amount of play in that side of the country has always been top notch. It's very competitive. Seattle, LA, always a battle. They always battle within the last six points within a victor or a loser. This year it was Seattle actually over Los Angeles. It's been 3 years since that happened, but this year they obviously get over the hump. If you talk about Seattle right now, you got to talk about Laurel Creel, a transformation there in Seattle. A lot of question marks in the past. You had Angela Ripken in the previous year. Now it's her team. Everybody just seems to kind of dive into her now. She seems very comfortable with that offense. She had weapons. You had a lot of veterans on this team. It's kind of equating to the Chicago Force that we talked about, you know, sort of like a lot of veterans on the squad. You have a lot of the team has, you know, Christine Moore, you got Jessica Hopkins, you got Ricky Quires there as well, you got Shea Norton. So you got a lot of veterans on the squad that obviously are hungry for championship. They've been disappointed in the past. You know, Jessica Hopkins and Christine Moore went to the LFL Canada, the Legends Football League Canada version last year with the BC Angels. The BC Angels were the top team in that league. They ended up winning the championship. So Jessica and Christine kind of understand now, you know, what it takes to be champions, the hunger to be a champion. You got to execute at a high level. You got to be able to put, you know, a good, solid game, especially against top-notch teams in the West. Every team in the West has a amazing quarterback. I mean, you go to Chicago, you got Heather Furr. Heather Furr, versatile. She's got, and then you got obviously the running backs. You got Crystal Harris, which is an amazing runner and amazing running back. You go together and put together into Green Bay. You got Ann Erler. On top of that, you had Haley Discra, who's obviously the amazing center. She's transformed herself there. You had Anna Hisman as well. So there's a lot of weapons now in Green Bay that have elevated their game. On top of that, Taylor Hardwood as well. So you have Green Bay, Chicago, L.A. has always been the staple. Even though they've dropped off a couple of talented players this season, they're able to elevate themselves and they're able to evolve. You got Melissa Margulies. You got Daniel Harvey now. You have a transformation, you know, new leader as well. I mean, the elevation of Monique Axiola as their leader, their staple. And, you know, obviously, Ashley Salerno as well. So the West is basically going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a situation where they get into pretty much a dogfight. So we think in the West at this point, you got L.A. still the team to beat. There's no question there. Even as well as Seattle has played, you've got to beat L.A. in the playoffs. And it has never happened in the league's history. L.A. has gotten beaten in the regular season. They got beaten by Dallas before Dallas Desire. They got beaten by Las Vegas Sin. You know, they got beaten by Seattle this year as well. But, you know, they lose, they bend, and they break a little in the regular season. But when it comes to the money part, when it comes to, you know, the playoff motion, they obviously know how to put it up a notch. And new coaching this year, Eddie Chan. Before that, they had David Bizzup. David Bizzup, pretty much simplistic coaching style. Eddie Chan's a little bit more versatile, a little bit more meticulous in that way. So we'll see how Ashley Soleno, Monique Axiola elevate the temptation to a level where they've got – I'm pretty sure they're going to face Chicago or Green Bay at this point. So given that, you know, mix on there, if they get over that, they obviously will face Seattle. Seattle rematch. It's probably the best matchup in the Legends Football League, bar none. I mean, the miss and temptation, West Coast, swag, it's probably the best rivalry right now in this league. You can't take anything away from the East Coast at this point, but reality is reality. The champs versus the wannabe champs. I mean, the storyline is just right there. Seattle versus L.A. And can the miss overcome the juggernaut, which is the three-time champ, Temptation. So I know Natalie Jonke and Stephanie Piszczek and, like I said, Monique Axiola, you know, they don't like to lose. They don't like to lose, and I doubt they're going to play to lose. So hopefully Seattle will bring their A game as they've done all season. And, you know, if they do get over the hump at this point, it'll be a great accomplishment for them. So we'll look into the East. The East in Baltimore, probably being the surprising team of the East in terms of the Legends Football League. Baltimore, 3-1 for the season. They had a coaching change early in the year. They transformed themselves. You know, Gary Clark, former Redskins Hall of Fame and you know, player, comes in, takes over the realm, and puts together a two-quarterback system, which everybody kind of questioned at the beginning with Morgan Spencer and all that. So now it's a situation where they've kind of evolved into a better team. T.C. Mesta, you had Heather Hudson as well. I mean, there's some talented players on this squad, even though they lost a couple key players. Ashley Hempstead was not there any longer. You had Kyle DeHaven that left. So you had a squad that had a lot of questions at the beginning, and all of a sudden now they kind of have elevated their game. And Ripken, I don't believe, is there yet. I mean, I don't think she's as strong of a leader as it is, but she's doing her part to get wins, and that's all that matters. When you win, you win. So it doesn't matter how pretty or how ugly it is, as long as you win. So it was a situation on Saturday that it was 12-6. They went into Omaha hard. They had to win to make the playoffs. Same thing with Omaha. So it was basically a playoff game for both teams. It was 12-6, and Baltimore comes up with a win, even though Omaha played their hearts out, defensively, they had a great outing. Kelsey Lane, Shante Button, you know, Sherry Himes. You had Jack McNuffie as well. So they all played pretty well. They just ran out of time. They just could not convert, you know, another point out there to tie and get it into another level. But Ralston Arena, a very supportive community in Nebraska. I mean, this is women's gridiron, and they've fallen in love with it. I mean, this is basically the Seattle Mist of the Midwest, basically. They've, you know, the community has really, you know, got into this game. They have, you know, the Arena League, which is the Omaha Beef as well. But for the most part, they've gotten to a point where they enjoy the level of play of their heart. So next season, I think they'll have a better, you know, better improvement, hopefully. Dante Allen, an amazing game plan, just ran a little bit of time. But Baltimore, you got to give them credit to, like we're talking about, Baltimore has elevated themselves to 3-1. At Philadelphia last night on YouTube, Philadelphia looked very out of passion mode in the first two quarters against the Cleveland Crush. The Cleveland Crush coming into the game with no Tia Nipper. Tia Nipper was suspended and obviously left the league for the WIFL. So you had to put Tiffany Suggs, and Dante Howard ended up putting Tiffany Suggs. An amazing performance. First time outing, 3 touchdowns in the game. She just also the same way, just first game, first jitters. She made some crucial decisions there as well towards the end. There were some drop balls that were probably capable of winning the game. But Philadelphia showed their true colors, their champions, two-time Eastern Conference champions, Christy Bell, probably one of the most passionate quarterbacks in the game. And she showed her colors last, broadcast. She was very frustrated. She knew that this team was better than that. They created a lot of mistakes for themselves, a lot of penalties. It was very unlike a passion ball at this point, but they held on in the end. They put together a nice combination of Mary Rose Roach, Megan Larson, on top of a great defensive front as well. So 33-26 was the final at the Two Arena from the previous week. And give credit to Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland played a great game. Teresa Pertuzzolo, an amazing season once again. Both sides of the ball, defensively and offensively. She's a beast. Number four, I mean, she's just, you can't say anything but good things about her. She's an amazing athlete. On top of that, you had Tamar Fennell, who, ran her heart out. She had an amazing opportunity to score some points, but the Philly defense just held. But talented as ever as she is. And so it just became a situation where the time ran out for them. And unfortunately, Philadelphia comes up with the win, 33-26. Now it's in the mix. We have a situation where you have Philadelphia probably venturing versus Baltimore, if that's the case. You have Atlanta waiting in the wings, the Atlanta Steam, which is an expansion team this year as well. Brittany Morgan, Nassari Johnson went down as well. But you have a lot of players on the Steam that are kind of hungry right now to kind of showcase their talent as well. The disappointment of the year had to be Jacksonville in this league. Jacksonville started off really hot, really amazing. KK Matheny, Adrian Purnell, Sage Steinsman. You had Lauren Ziegler, huge upside at the beginning of the year, the first two games, amazing. And then all of a sudden they drop off that game in Omaha, and then all of a sudden they just don't rebound. A lot of injuries as well. Those are factors as well with this team. And, Joe Murphy leaving as well now as a confirmation. So Joe Murphy in the past years has never been able to get over the hump, whether it be versus Philly or whether it be any other squad. So Jacksonville, whether it was in Tampa or here, they were missing Liz Gorman this year, and it just seemed like they were going to be a better team with it. But it goes to show that, obviously Liz Gorman was truly missed because, she was basically an amazing talent on that team. And it just goes to show that you need another boost. So Jacksonville, an offseason of disappointment. They just could not put together a better squad. They get beat literally in Omaha. It's probably the biggest upset in Legends Football League history right now. Jacksonville going to Omaha, and they get beat by the expansion team. Not to take away from maybe Vegas versus L.A., but this was huge. 8-0, they shut down pretty much the number one top team in the league. It just goes to show what they can do on that. So now you move on to the East and the playoff picture there, kind of figure out what they want to do. So we'll see how that happens there as well. So the results over in Mexico is 40-2. Also, the FX Mexico, they had what they call the Mexican Bowl or the Mexico Bowl. That was in Mexico this past Saturday as well. And you had the FX Mexico All-Stars taking on the Liga Monterrey, the football. And it just over-qualified. The team in FX Mexico is just way better in terms of competitive edge against the Liga Mexico, the football. So right there and there, you go to the quality 40-2. They only got a safety off of that, but they scored points, so you can't take that away from them. But 40-2. FX Mexico is kind of evolving into a brand that is going to be equated to maybe I would say the WFA in a lot of ways in Mexico. They're starting to evolve. Women's Gridiron, they're putting together a two-division squad. They're putting together a lot of positive things going down south in terms of evolving the game there. It's the same concept that you have, in growing the game down south, but they're doing it very, very nicely, and they're doing it very well. They're putting together good squads. There's a lot of athletic women in Mexico that want to play American football, and it goes to show that they're able to do it. They're going to do it, in a lot of passion, and hopefully they're going to be successful for that. So we'll go into here, and I don't see Amber coming on to the show yet. We'll see if she calls in at this point within a couple minutes here. If not, we'll reschedule her. We got our show going here as well. So anybody wants to call in, it's 1-714. 888-7418-1714, 888-7418. And then you can, we can talk football, we can talk anything. We also have the NFL. NFL this weekend had the entrainment, the NFL Hall of Fame. And you have Chris Carter, Warren Sapp going in, Jonathan Ogden. Amazing speeches. I thought Chris Carter's speech was probably the best one out of all of them in the night, not to take away from the rest of the Hall of Famers. But I really think his journey goes to show, down in the pits, as he calls it, and then elevating himself to more of a responsible individual, going from Philadelphia to Minnesota. Now, Chris Carter, basically an icon in Minnesota. I mean, probably the best receiver in Vikings history. It was kind of sentimental for anybody that comes from an area like he did, to sacrifice and then put together a performance. I mean, his hands, one-handed catches, you'll never see that ever again, probably from another receiver. Very talented. If you look at the highlight reels on, NFL Network, you pretty much know exactly what we're talking about. Just an amazing talent. Just unfortunate he never went into a Super Bowl state, never won a Super Bowl. And just goes to show that it's so hard to put together a good squad to go to a Super Bowl. But individually, he played on some very good, talented teams. He played on with very talented quarterbacks. Warren Moon, and you had all the other quarterbacks he's played with. But, Chris Carter, probably, one of the best receivers of all time. And you have to give him credit for his, getting uprising and moving on to his career. Warren Sapp, I mean, total beast. He's obviously played an amazing amount of games overall. I won a world championship as well, Super Bowl, with John Gruden. He was an ex-Raider as well. But, Warren Sapp, just you wouldn't think of that individual as, as great as he was, but he was. He was an amazing talent. He had skill level for the quarterback. I mean, pretty sure Brett Favre would tell you that as well. They were pretty much rivals all along. So, goes into, the Hall of Fame. It was kind of an emotional speech for him as well because, he's kind of upbeat and, like he says, out of motion most of the time. But when it gets down to seriousness, he was sort of, low-key, and he was very grateful for the opportunities and thanking everybody for his for everybody helping him out throughout the process as well. So Jonathan Ogden, probably the most special one of all because number one draft pick out of the Ravens. The Ravens were initially, created. He was the first draft pick for that franchise. And then all of a sudden, here he is, the first Hall of Fame inductee for the Baltimore Ravens. And who would have thought the same number one draft pick would be a Hall of Famer? And he was. He was an amazing, amazing talent. He had a knack for, pressuring, quarterbacks, an opportunity to work with, and play with, a lot of the teams in Baltimore. So hats off to him for an amazing career that he had and obviously being number one and playing obviously on a great team. So goes to show that, if you work hard, you'll get to that level as well and you put together a nice, chance to obviously be in the Hall of Fame, but he deserves it and it's deserving. The other Hall of Famers, I don't know any much about. I didn't research them about, but I'm pretty sure they were all great talents. And they deserve to be in the halls as well in that. So today was Dolphins and Cowboys starting off at the Hall of Fame game. And so NFL's preseason is officially started. Everybody on Twitter was kind of excited today. Everybody's kind of excited about preseason. I don't get totally excited about preseason because just it is what it is. It's preseason. But I do get excited at the fact that we get to see some of the maybe unknowns that will evolve into maybe some sort of factors into the season. I usually don't evaluate the NFL season until week four. I usually think within 4 weeks, you could pretty much tell at that point who's going to stand out, who's going to be a pretty good squad. You go into week five, and you could pretty much already assess whether somebody's going to be on the upswing or we're going to have a disappointing season at this point. So let's hope that that's not the case. And, but let's put together Dallas has always been the overly hyped team, for the network, overly hyped team for the league. Tony Romo, big money now. Jason Witten. I mean, you got all these players now trying to elevate this squad. A new defensive coordinator, and Marty Kiffin. You know, you got all these pieces put together in Dallas, and we'll see how that turns out and transpires. Des Bryant and them. It just, my personal opinion is Dallas is always overrated, and they never come through in the end. So technically, at this point, you know, don't hype them up until they prove that they're willing to go into the dance. So if they're not into the dance, don't even hype them up. At this point, they're just a normal team like anybody else. They're a team that just has to prove themselves again without the hype at this point. Dolphins, completely rebirthed team. I mean, they're just question marks everywhere. A new quarterback, new everything. So I don't know how that's going to transpire in Miami, but we'll see how the changes happen there in Miami as well. So let's go into some more information on some of the stuff that's going to be happening out this week at this point. We have the Women's Arena Football League action on August 10th in Garland, Texas. And that's going to happen it's going to be a doubleheader, and you can pretty much get the details at WAFLLeague.com. You can go to the Twitter at WFALeague.com as well. It's going to be the Atlanta Archers debuting versus the New Orleans Bayou Queens. It's arena action there. And you have Dallas Darlings, which features Linda Brenner as their quarterback, former Dallas Desire Legends Football League, or Lingerie Football League, as you want to call it, going up against the Houston Lady Oilers. Claudia Del Solis, which is also one of the top-notch, you know, wrestlers in the country, women's pro wrestlers. So she's ventured into the Arena League. So Dallas Darlings versus Houston Lady Oilers. It's going to be Atlanta Archers versus New Orleans Bayou Queens, and that's going to be a doubleheader event, August 10th. That's going to take place at the Garland, Texas. So you can get the details and ticket information at WAFLLeague.com. So we can go on that. Sugar and Spice Football League, August 10th as well, triple header event. It's going to happen on Super Bowl event for them. It's basically their championship, and it's going to include two other games in that package as well. So it's going to be the Texas Cowgirls, who have been undefeated all season. They're basically 5-0. They're going for a 6-0 season at this point versus the former champ, McAllen Mystics. The Mystics are looking to, you know, they haven't had a great season in terms of undefeated state, but they've had a good season enough to get into the playoffs. So they're looking for another title at this point to upseat the Texas Cowgirls, who have obviously played in a great season. So you can get the Facebook, you can go to Facebook, the Sugar and Spice Facebook page, you get the details there, or you can go to our Facebook page as well. We have a poster on there about the details of tickets. Tickets have gone on sale since August 1st, so you get an opportunity to kind of see an action. And the Sugar and Spice Football League is growing. It's not traditional arena football, but it's not something like the Legends Football League. It's pretty much sportswear. It's more sportswear, athletic wear. So you're looking at, not a bikini outfit in that sense. You're looking at sportswear in that regard. So they've grown a lot. They are growing in Texas. And we talk about Texas again, of course. Texas being the hotbed of gridiron football, and everybody loves football in Texas, and here you go. The Sugar and Spice Football League, no different. So at this point, they're going to have a great event. Texas Cowgirls, last year they had their Super Bowl event at Cowboy Stadium, and this year obviously they're not going to have it there, but it was a historic event for the league, first year to have that event, and the McAllen Mystics actually came out the victors. So this year it's Dallas Cowgirls, looking to see if they can upseat, or beat the McAllen Mystics for the rights to be called champions and an undefeated season on top of that. That's a good thing for them. The Liga Mexicana de Football, which is translated into English, is the Mexican Lingerie Football League. It's going to kick off September of 2013. The defending champ Cardinals will try to defend their title once again. And they got about five, six squads going into play. It's non-traditional as well. It's similar to the Sugar and Spice Football League in a lot of ways, and to the Legends League. And a lot of these leagues are venturing in Mexico. They're kind of they're coming up, kind of copycats of the Legends Football League. So see how they evolve and how they venture in. I mean, the original is the original. We'll see how well and good job they do this to elevate themselves and kind of stand out their brand. But overall, it's kind of a similar concept as the Legends Football League that exists now. So So they're going to kick off their season in September 2013. You can follow us on Twitter or Facebook, and you can get the link there to their pages and their Twitter feed, so you can keep up to date with the latest information about what they're going to have in terms of the season and the schedule. Once it's posted, we will obviously post it on our Facebook page as well. So the FX Mexico versus the Liga Football Monterrey, like we talked about, the Mexican Bowl, August 3rd. The details are on Facebook and game update as well. We even had a Terra Mexico had a link on there, and we ended up uploading that as well, so you can see some of the action that happened. It was a 40-2 victory for FX Mexico, and so obviously there's the Superior League in Mexico for that event at the Mexican Bowl, at the Mexico Bowl in Monterrey, Mexico. The Gridiron League of New South Wales, which is the UTS Gridiron Football Club, they're going to be holding their first tackle league. You can get information at info@utsgridiron.com. They're planning on actually starting their league in the fall here for us, but that's the spring for them, which is in September as well as 2013. So if you need the information, if you're in obviously in Australia and you're listening to us, it's Gridiron New South Wales, and it's UTS Gridiron Football Club, or you can go to our Facebook page and get the information and link there as well. The Female League of Queensland, it's a kickoff in September 6th, and they're in basically second season kicking off here. They've had a good matchups. Last year was kind of a historic matchup. The Female League of Queensland All-Stars taking on the Western Foxes of the Gridiron Victoria. So it was a historic event, two matchups in that sense, as well as the Western Foxes taking on the ACK Women's League in Australia. So women's gridiron is actually evolving and growing in Australia, and participation is at a huge high. So hopefully, they grow their leagues exclusively, and they're driving towards 2017 being the Women's World Championships. They want to put in an Australian squad for the tournament. They're well on their way, especially with all the interest they've gotten so far from the various leagues as well. You also have the Ladies Football League Australia, which is similar to, like we just talked about, the Sugar and Spice. It's not your lingerie-style attire. It's more performance wear attire. And they're going to have tryouts to fill the squad for an international match that's going to happen in Hawaii. There are going to be some combine trials as well. And they had that, I believe, yesterday. So if you need more information on the tryout to combine and what the dates are for the international match, you can also go to facebook.com/LFL Australia, facebook.com/LFL Australia, or you can go to our Facebook page as well, and we have a link there that you can take it to you as well. The announcement was the Women's Indoor Football League made an announcement this past weekend. They are restructuring. Blanchett Sports Holding is restructuring their, they're basically their venture. So they're getting some new financiers into the structure. More details to come on August 15th. You can also get details at WIFLfootball.com in terms of what they're going to do with the restructuring. They're trying to set themselves up more financially secure before the kickoff of their first season. They are inclined to pay players and obviously insurance. So as a professional league, what they're doing right now is they're trying to structure themselves correctly, so that there's no hiccups during the season in terms of pay and what kind of budget and what caps they're going to use. So they're really working with some investors as well to get a backing so that to see if they can get that squared away. Blanchett Sports Holding, like I said, is the parent company at this point. We don't know if that's going to change or not in that sense. So Pittstown Europe will be the exclusive partnership with us. Just a big announcement that we had this week. We were able to sit down with them, and going forward, Touchdown Europe will have exclusive partnership with us, Gridiron Beauties on Facebook as well as Twitter, for coverage of the Europa scene. We're going to be covering a lot of the hotbed leagues, obviously in Europe, the AFDV, the AFVD, which is the German league. We're going to be covering the CIFAF. Which is the Italian league, Le Sparkles league, obviously France as well. As soon as the Legends Football League kicks off, obviously we're going to cover the Legends Football League Europa. On top of that, we're covering the BAF BAFA, which is the British American Football League Association's women's gridiron side of it. Europe is going to be pretty much a bombshell as well, you know, in terms of, you know, blowing up for the women's gridiron scene. You also have Switzerland and Finland as well. You have leagues there as well. So starting in 2014, we will be working together, like I said, doing a partnership with Touchdown Europe, exclusively with them, so we can actually network with them and keep up with the scene. And we'll be putting up a blog in their website where we're going to detail some of the action that's going on globally so folks can understand not just the men's game, but the women's game, you know, all together in that as well. So we'll see how that transpires going into the season and going into 2014. We are sponsoring and networking with everybody, like we talked about earlier in the beginning of the show. So if anybody wants to get a hold of us, they can go on Twitter, and they can direct message us as well on Twitter, or you can do that on Facebook as well, or message us in there. So our number to call in is 1-714-888-7418, 1-714-888-7418. So if you have any questions on that, you can chime in on doing that. We'll see how it works out. We're waiting for Amber to come in here. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll see how that works out here. Let's give her a couple more minutes. Otherwise, that's going to be our show for today. But if you have any questions, like I said, you can chime in at 1-714-888-7418. And you can talk to us about football and women's gridiron, and we can talk about anything you want to talk about today in that sense as well. So let's see here. It's all the notes and news that I have at this point. We want to just thank everybody for listening to our show. We appreciate it. If you have any players, coaches, anything in your league, if you're listening to us, let us know. We'd like to interview them. We'd like to put them on a showcase on our show where I'm able to kind of showcase to the fans exactly who's doing great things in the women's gridiron game, how we're elevating the game and putting together in the next couple weeks to come. We have a great lineup of guests that's coming up for us. So stay tuned for that. We will have, hopefully Sammy Grisoffi will come in here. She's going to make some time. Obviously, you have championship weeks here. Hopefully in September we'll get that. We'll have Jeanette Gray back on, hopefully in September as well. So some of the prominent names in the sport in terms of the championship level of play. We contacted the Houston Energy. They should be able to come up with a couple players for us next week or the week after. So we're going to have a slew of guests coming up. But if you are in a league that needs some exposure, you need something to elevate yourselves, please network with us. We love to showcase your talents, your players, your league, kind of showcase your teams, kind of give us an idea of, you know, give the fans a kind of a view of what your league's all about, what you're doing in terms of community, what you guys do in terms of, you know, getting the word out, practices, any type of other ventures that you have. So please use hashtag 2-minute drill if you're on Twitter. On Facebook, if you want us to kind of shout out and give some information about your league instead of just message us completely, or you can email us at gridironbeauties@gmail.com, gridironbeauties@gmail.com, and we will gladly respond to you back in terms of, what we can do to help you network with your league and your events. So that's going to do it for us today. I don't believe Amber's coming on today. Hopefully she's okay and nothing serious at this point. I know she was supposed to be on the show today, so hopefully she's coming on board, and otherwise we'll reschedule with her for either next week or the week after, if that's the case. So I appreciate everybody's time today. Thank you for listening to us and for your support. We'll catch you guys on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty and on Facebook at Gridiron Beauties. And you can also visit our site at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties for any of the gear for our brand, and our brand supports all youth programs as well as any leagues that need health support. So on top of that, you know, you can acquire any of your gear there. Check out our designs and your slogans, and you can customize those as well to fit your needs or add a color or any type of style that you want. So we appreciate your time today listening to us. We look forward to next week where we interview another current or pioneer of the sport and get together with them and talk about women's gridiron football. So have a great Sunday, and we look forward to next week to take care of that at Gridiron Beauties Radio. Have a great day.